Hello, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for your interest in our ministry. This message is entitled Fruit from Another World. The Apostle Paul described the fruit that is to be produced by our reborn human spirit in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit is not of this world, and it is what God utilizes as the pure motivation for directing us to do what He wants us to do. If your desire is to fulfill the plan of God for your life, then you need to know how crucial it is for this fruit to be present in your life. I hope this message will bless you. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to teach and to study your word. I thank you, Father, for the true teacher, the Holy Spirit, and for his ministry revealing the word to us. And we just purpose in our heart right now to receive all that you have for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what you've made available to us. And right now I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way try to bring disturbances or distractions to any person listening. I arrest you now, devil, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for everything that's about to happen here. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the last few messages, what we've been talking about has been really the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about fruit-bearing believers, and that was out of Galatians chapter 5. And we also talked about the circumcision of the heart. That was our last message. And it all basically has been in line with the teaching about the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to continue in that same vein, just to talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And I got a couple of props right here to kind of help get our mind going in the right direction. Now, right now, I'm holding up, for those of you that are listening and you can't see the picture, I'm holding up an apple. So, and this is a nice, large, red, juicy apple. Now, this apple, if I went out and planted, let's say, a little sapling, just a little small little apple tree, and I went out expecting the next day to pull an apple like this off of it, you know that's not possible, right? That little sapling has to grow, has to develop, and eventually it's going to produce an apple just like this. But this is going to take time. There's going to need to be cultivation take place. Someone's going to need to nurture that tree. It needs to grow. At times, there's going to need to be pruning that takes place to cut back so that it'll produce larger fruit. Now, also, I have a nice big orange, which I'm holding up right now. Same story with this orange. There's no way I could go out and plant an orange tree and next week go out and expect to pull an orange off like this. It's not going to happen. It's going to take maybe a year or two before a tree is going to grow, develop, have nice branches, a nice root system so they can draw the nutrients out of the ground to support the life of the fruit. So in both those cases, we're talking about a process necessary in order for each of those trees to come to the place that it can bear fruit. All right? Now, with that in mind, when you look at Galatians chapter 5, and you see what Paul wrote there to the churches at Galatia, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, it's just, again, I'm holding this apple in my hand. It's like having an apple tree, just a sapling, and going out to that tree and saying, "Bear fruit for me." It's not going to do it. there has to be a process in which the fruit comes forth, because the tree bears the fruit. It grows and matures and comes to the place that can bear the fruit. Same thing happens with a reborn human spirit. You don't just expect to a person that's just gets born again tomorrow, they walk out the door, and you expect them to have all of the fruit manifesting in their life that's listed there in Galatians 5, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. That's not going to happen. That person is going to have to go through a process of growth and development. You say, well, Mark, I don't believe that. Well, let's look at a few scriptures just to get your mind going in this direction so that you can see that there is growth and development. There is spiritual maturing that's necessary. And if the maturing doesn't happen, then what are we going to be lacking? We're going to be lacking the fruit. And I'm holding up this apple again. If there's no maturing of the person's human spirit, if there's no development there, if there's no growing, then there's no fruit. Now, it seems to me like the fact that we're born into this kingdom should give us an understanding that it is a birthing. And as any birthing goes, you don't get birthed as a full-grown, mature person. It just doesn't happen. And the women are thankful for that. The baby comes into this world in the natural, undeveloped, just a small little, you can hold it in two hands, but the potential, oh my goodness, just in the natural, the potential that you're holding in those two little hands is a person that over the course of 20, 30 years is going to grow into an adult, having all of its all their faculties, having the body that's developed. Well, can't we see the same type of development in a reborn human spirit? And Jesus told Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John, you must be born again. So here we have a birthing process. And then if you look, and let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. We've looked at that before, but let's look again. 1 Peter 2, Peter tells us that the necessity to feed our spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Grow, develop, mature. How are you doing it? With the milk of the word. You're going to take the word of God and you're going to feed your reborn human spirit, and in doing so, it's going to grow and develop and mature, and eventually you're going to begin to bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And you say, well, that I want to see some more scriptures about that. Okay, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him. See those words? Grow up into Him. Does that not give you paint the picture inside of you of growing, developing spiritually? You see, just the same way that you have a physical body that grows and develops and matures, your spirit grows and develops. But it doesn't do it like automatically. There has to be a feeding of this spirit man. You feed the spirit man with the word of God. And in doing so, he grows. He develops. He matures. And as he does so, there's going to be fruit that's going to come forth. And that fruit is the fruit of your reborn human spirit. Isn't that exciting? I thank God for it. Now let's look at one more verse in Hebrews, as I'm just kind of laying the groundwork right now. Hebrews chapter 4. As I already stated from what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, that we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now look at what is said here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 about the word of God. For the word of God is quick, that means alive. Now we could just stop right there and just camp out on just that one word. The word of God, we're talking about this written word right here that I'm holding in my hand. This isn't just a textbook. This is the word of God, and it's alive. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now let me just stop right there before we go any further. Let me just share a little bit here with you. In our last message, we talked about the circumcision of the heart in the spirit that takes place when we're born again. So if you take the Old Testament example of circumcision and what takes place there and how that brings a person into the covenant, a child of Israel, a young man into the covenant, and you see the circumcision cut that takes place in their body, meaning that cut has brought them into a standing, a covenant standing with God. If you look at Romans 2, Paul tells us in Romans 2 that there's a circumcision that takes place, not in the natural body, in verse 29, but he's a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. So the circumcision that we receive when we're born again is in the heart, in the spirit. And what that does is that frees us from the dominion of spiritual death. Before you were born again, you were dominated by spiritual death. You had no choice in the matter. You sinned because it was your nature. Now you've been delivered from that. There's been a circumcision, a cutting away, delivering you from that into the family of God, and born into the family of God. There's something that continues to take place, I should say, and that's what I was referring to back in Hebrews 4. And it is a continuing cutting away. See these words? The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now see how these words paint a picture? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you see what that's describing? A continuing cutting away. As more of the word comes into our hearts, as we continue to renew our mind with the word of God, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, renewing our mind, the transformation takes place. A continuing cutting away of that soul, delivering that spirit away from the control of the soul and the thoughts from this world, that continues. And what happens, it says here, is there is a discerning that takes place of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Does that not sound like the motivation of the heart, the intent, the motivation, why you do what you do. You see, we do a lot of things, and we kind of justify in our minds why we do them. Maybe we tell ourselves, I'm doing it for this reason, I'm doing it for that reason. And sometimes you might think that's why you're doing it, but the truth of the matter is, maybe it's not the reason at all you're doing it. And I know for myself, there are times that I'll be doing things, something, you know, whatever it might be, and the Holy Ghost so often will bring a verse and a scripture to my remembrance. If I'm in the middle of making a decision about something, a lot of times he'll bring a verse. It just seems like it just floats up inside of me, and sometimes it convicts me. Sometimes it reveals a wrong motivation in my heart. Well, how is that? You see, it's the Holy Ghost using the word that's been placed inside of me, showing me, Mark, you're operating out of a wrong motivation. You see, I really want my motives to be right, to be pure. I want to do what I do for the right reasons. I want it to come from fruit that's manifesting from my reborn human spirit, not the works of the flesh. You see, there are times that, I'll give you an example. Let's say that you're faced with making a decision about something. Let's say it involves money. Money seems to be one of those things that we often have to make decisions about. And let's just say that you make a decision out of fear. Fear of not having the money that you need. Instead of that decision being based with a right reason, a right motive, it's based in something that's a wrong motive. Being motivated by fear is not right. Any decision that you're making that's motivated out of fear, you're making it out of your flesh. It's not coming from a fruit of the Spirit. If, let's say you see somebody, you're driving your car, and as is the case in so many certain instances, you're going to find people that are maybe holding a sign at the street corner. And all of a sudden, this compassion wells up on the inside, and you know that you're supposed to do something for that person. And that compassion is squelched because you immediately begin to rationalize in your mind why you can't afford to do it. You see what I'm talking about here? The fear of not having trumped the true motivation that was birthed out of a fruit of the reborn human spirit, love. Love was welling up inside of you. God was using that to bring you to a place, motivating you to do something. And instead of following that true heart motive, born out of your reborn human spirit, what you did was you resorted to the flesh. You resorted to letting your soul dictate to you what you should or shouldn't do. And you responded out of fear. How many times, as a born-again child of God, has that happened to us? And there's one instance. There's a laundry list of instances where God has tried, the Holy Ghost has tried to bring us to a place of doing something. And instead of following that desire that was born out of that fruit of the Spirit, whether it was love, joy, peace, following that peace, whatever one of those fruit of the Spirit that God was using to draw you in and to lead you, whatever happened, you resorted to rationalizing what you were going to do out of your mind. Your soul took over and said, we can't do it for this reason, this reason, this reason. And all the while, those reasons were born out of your flesh. And instead of following that reborn human spirit, you and I, I'm guilty too. We follow the flesh. It's just so easy to. And I think for myself, I rationalize a lot of times because that leadership of the Spirit is so subtle. And it's so easy to ignore if you want to ignore it. It simply is. And you can say, well, that wasn't God. That was just me. And there you go. You've rationalized it. And now you're going to follow the flesh. And the flesh will always take the easy way out. It'll always give you reasons why you can't. You know, maybe it's not about money. Maybe it's God wants you to take time out of your busy schedule to show compassion to someone who's in need. And not a monetary thing, but who needs your time, who needs your faithfulness to go and minister to them. Instead of following through with that, what did you do? Well, I can't. I have this to do and this to do, and you rationalized it. And consequently, I've missed God at different times simply because I ignored those subtle little promptings of the Spirit. Oh, that was just me. Oh, that wasn't God. And all the time it was. And sometimes it's, you know, it's just a little nudge in a direction. It's not anything huge. And it's so easy to ignore. Because here's the thing. Each one of us has our own will. And we can choose to do or not to do anything and everything. It's our choice. God doesn't make you do anything. I don't know if you've realized that or not. If he could make you do anything, he'd make every one of us get born again, and we would just rapture out of here, and that'd be the end of it. But see, God's not into making you do anything, because that's not love. Love is a choice. You choose to follow him or not follow him. So based on that right there, based on the fact that it's your choice, if you want to truly fulfill the plan of God and follow him, it's going to require this fruit to be present, this fruit of the reborn human spirit. It has to be there. The love has to be there. The peace has to be there. And as, again, holding up the apple one more time, it doesn't just appear overnight. The peace of God develops, just like this little apple in my hand took time to develop. Had to nurture that tree, cultivate it. You know, any good farmer knows if you're going to have a harvest, it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. You're going to have to pay attention to the growth and the development. And whenever the weeds come, you got to get rid of the weeds. You want to cultivate around the base of that tree. You want to give it the proper nutrients. You want to feed it. All those things are necessary if you're going to have a harvest, if you're going to have fruit. And the fruit that I'm talking about is the fruit of a reborn human spirit. is so important, because without that fruit, you're going to be doing things that are going, that's going to be motivated out of your own flesh, because there is no fruit there to be the motivation that's going, that will take you in the direction God wants you to go in. Does that make sense? Without the fruit, what's going to motivate you? If you only cultivate this flesh, even after you're born again, and you can certainly do that, you can certainly continue in the same path that you were going in prior to being born again. If you want to do that, it's your choice. God's not going to make you grow up. You can be a thumb-sucking spiritual baby until you go to be with Jesus. It's your choice. But don't expect that God's going to be able to lead you by desire when there's no fruit on your tree, no spiritual fruit, no fruit of the Spirit. What is that fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Those things are going to be what motivates you to do the things that God wants you to do. Let's say faithfulness. Faith is how, is the word that's used there, but it's referring to faithfulness. Not loyalty to an individual, but faithfulness to God. See, that is a true motivation for doing something. That faithfulness that is born out of your reborn human spirit will motivate you to be faithful to do for others, to be faithful to follow God wherever He leads you. See, that's something that you cannot just put on. You can't just make it happen. I'm going to be faithful. Oh, yeah. No, you're not. You're going to try to put on something, but that'll be in your flesh. You follow what I mean? Oh, I'm going to be faithful now. Oh, really? Show me how that works. Because it doesn't work because we make a decision to do something. That's out of our flesh. Oh, I'm going to be faithful now. No. See, when you do that, when you simply make a decision, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to love somebody. Oh, that's a good one. I'm making the decision to love people. Okay? See, that's out of your willpower. When you make a decision like that, it's out of your willpower. I decide I'm going to love you. All right? That'll last as long as the person doesn't exceed your level of determination to do that. Once they've exceeded it, then the love's over with. Forget it. I'm not going to do that anymore. That's not the love I'm talking about. See, that's something that you put on in the flesh. What I'm talking about is true love, the love of God that's born out of your reborn human spirit, that is a fruit of the Spirit. I'm holding this apple up again because I'm trying to impress this on you. If that love isn't produced by your spirit, if it's not there, if it hasn't been cultivated, if you haven't nurtured your spirit and caused it to develop this fruit, then there's nothing there. There's no, the love isn't there. It's not, maybe it's in its infancy, you know, and it still needs to grow into a nice, healthy piece of fruit. Maybe it's just a potential, but it hasn't developed yet. You haven't seen the fruit there. Feed it, it'll grow. But until it does, just understand that there isn't a true motivation present because the fruit isn't there to motivate you. I'm saying that so you can understand it. I hope I'm saying it clearly enough. The problem that I have discovered, even in myself, has been seeing what I should do, how I should live, knowing I should live this way, and making the decision to try and live that way. That'll never last. See, true change happens from the inside because the fruit is born out of your spirit, and that fruit is what brings about the motivation to go and to do whatever God wants you to do. It's what motivates you to when it comes to laying down your life for somebody else. You see, if you're wanting to be a minister for the gospel, if you know in your heart God has called you, then understand that this is a lifestyle in which you lay your life down, and it can't simply be a decision in your flesh, in your soul, that you think, well, I'll decide to do this, and you think that that's going to last from here through eternity, because it won't. It's whatever point the pressure builds to that place where it overtakes that decision in your soul, that's the place that you stop. And God doesn't want you to stop. Once you start in that path of fulfilling your call, He wants you to follow it all the way to the end. Well, what would be necessary in order to do that? Wouldn't it seem like the fruit of faithfulness would need to be present inside of you in order to take you from here to the end? Yeah, that's what you would need, is faithfulness. That fruit of the Spirit empowering you to walk out the calling that God's placed on your life. And the peace. I'm going to tell you something. Just in the amount of time that I've ministered, I have seen that the enemy will do everything to try and bring every kind of distraction around you to take you off course, to discourage you, anything that he can do to try to get you to stop doing what you're doing. And if you have made a decision based on outward circumstances, your decision isn't going to last. It won't stand the test of time. But if you're following the Lord based on the presence of the fruit of peace, of long-suffering, of temperance, of faithfulness, you're going to be able to walk through whatever the enemy throws at you. And you're going to do it with joy. Hallelujah! With joy in your heart. Not because something on the outside brought you joy. It's just bubbling up from the inside. You're a party going somewhere to happen, not because of outward circumstances. It's because the fruit of joy resides within you. How do you think Paul was able to endure, oh my goodness, endure all that you see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. How do you endure all of that? The beatings, the stonings. Five times he was whipped with 39 stripes. Five times. You know, one time's more than enough. But five times, 39 lashes. He had his feet broken. He was a day and a night in the deep, on and on, imprisoned. How do you live that life and just not go flat crazy? Really, it's because there's fruit that is being born by your spirit that he's writing about in Galatians. See, he's writing about it because he has this in his own life. He has this love. This love that would compel him to to endure one more beating for the sake of the gospel. He has this love that would compel him to endure a day in the night in the deep. He has this love that would compel him to endure the imprisonments, the stonings, the lashings, all of those things, and do it with joy. Hallelujah! Not with the mully grubs, not with complaining. There was no complaining. Complaining just doesn't happen. So I said all that to say this, that the fruit that has to be present on your tree, if I can say it that way, the tree, the reborn human spirit, that fruit, it has to be there in order for the motives to be proper, in order for you to fulfill what God's called you to do. See, anything less than the pure fruit, the pure heart, anything less, and you are creating a monument to yourself. And that will never stand the test of time. You don't want a monument to yourself. You want what you do to be a monument to Jesus. So with all of that in mind, I want you to turn to what might seem to be a very unfamiliar, well, I don't say unfamiliar, it's probably familiar, but it's going to be Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This is affectionately known as the Beatitudes. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. And as Jesus taught this message, and he taught these different Beatitudes, if you're like I am, you've read these, and you thought, that's not possible. You can't live that way. And nor would I even care to. But I did something very interesting here in the last couple of days. I matched up the Beatitudes with Galatians chapter 5. And I discovered that what Jesus was teaching about in the Beatitudes was really the fruit of the Spirit. He was telling us that if you will produce this fruit of the Spirit, that you are going to be blessed in what you do because you have the right motives. You're doing it for the right reasons. If you don't develop it, then you're going to be like the person that he talks about, which he calls the hypocrite. And he talks about, basically we're talking about the Pharisee, his giving. The reason he does what he gives the way he does is to draw attention to himself. The reason he prays the way he does is to draw attention to himself. The reason he fasts as a hypocrite, to draw attention to himself. And all of those things he does for the wrong heart motive. And there's no benefit because of it. It doesn't benefit him anything at all. And we don't want to have the wrong heart motive. We want the right heart motive. We want to have the fruit being produced of a reborn human spirit so that the motives are correct. Now let's look here. I really believe that you're going to find this very interesting. Beginning with in Matthew 5, let's just begin in verse 1. Seeing the multitudes, he went up, that's Jesus, into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, look particularly beginning in verse 5. Look at what it says here. Blessed are the meek. Now, if you hold your place there, you're probably going to want to hold Matthew chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 5. And you're going to, because we're going to flip back and forth here, okay? So if you go to Galatians 5 and you look beginning in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, verse 23, look at that first word there. What is that? Meekness. So you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. So flip back over there to Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek. I know for myself, when I first read these verses years ago, I read those and I thought, that doesn't excite me one little bit, saying that I'm blessed because I'm meek. Because in my mind, I thought, I'm going to have to act that way. And that's not it. That's not what Jesus is saying. We're not talking about changing your actions on the outside. What we're talking about is you're meek because the fruit of meekness is being produced through your reborn human spirit. You're born again and you're developed, you're maturing to the place where there's true meekness. And Jesus is saying right here, if you will do this, if you'll develop this fruit that comes forth, this meekness, it's going to be a blessing, not just to you. This is the great part of it. It's not just for us. It's going to bless us, but in blessing us, is going to empower us to be a blessing to other people. Isn't that good? You see, in Galatians 5, that the works of the flesh, all of those things gratify you, the flesh. It just gratifies the individual that does it. You know, the anger that swells up inside a person that just gives themselves over to that fleshly, carnal desire to be angry. None of that's God. And all of it gratifies their own flesh. And nobody else gets blessed by it. No, it's not a blessing to them or anybody else. But meekness, when the true fruit of meekness is being produced, it's a blessing to the person. It's a blessing to people around them. Oh, it's that, because it's the real fruit of the Spirit. It's produced by the Spirit. And it ministers to the person and to those around them. Praise God. Let's go on here. Go back to Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness. Blessed are the people that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, if you go back over to Galatians 5, which one of those words corresponds with righteousness? The word that corresponds is gentleness. And gentleness is defined as goodness in the sense of what is upright, righteous. Righteousness. So here we have Jesus saying, blessed is the person that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. And Paul is saying that the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, is righteous, upright, walking in righteousness, walking in uprightness. Can you see the connection between these two? What Jesus is proposing when he's teaching the Beatitudes, what he's saying there is pointing directly to a reborn human spirit and saying, look, if you're like this, if you produce this fruit, you are going to be blessed. All right, let's go on. Let's go to the next one. The next one is verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, mercy corresponds with love. Merciful is actively compassionate. Merciful is actively compassionate. And you know that love is and compassion are they're used simultaneously through the scriptures. It's love in action. And he's saying there that those that are merciful are going to be blessed. If you're producing this fruit of love, you're going to be merciful and you're going to be blessed. But and let's go back now. The motivation of your heart for being merciful is going to be born out of a fruit of your reborn human spirit. All right? Now, let's go on to the next one. Back in Matthew 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart. The pure in heart, goodness, is the uprightness of heart. How about that? The word goodness, as found in Galatians 5, the word goodness is uprightness, or you could say pureness of heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. So the person that has the fruit of goodness is blessed. Can you see what Jesus was doing there? All the time, he was going through the fruit that would be produced by the reborn human spirit. He's telling them, look, when you're born again, this is what's going to come forward, and it's going to bless you, because it's going to be produced out of that reborn human spirit. Let's go on to verse 9. This is pretty easy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That doesn't take very much to see which one that corresponds with. Love, joy, peace. Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. The peace that comes from that reborn human spirit. It's not just going to bless you. It's going to empower you to be a blessing to others as a peacemaker. But it's all rooted in the same place. It all comes from that same place. The reborn human spirit producing the fruit of peace. And it comes out. And see, it's not just for us. It's for those who are around us. They're going to be blessed too. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, in this case, if you look at the list of the fruit, persecuted for righteousness' sake, what could you look at in that list of fruit and make a connection with? How about long-suffering? Long-suffering. Let's look at the verse again in Matthew. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, that persecution for righteousness' sake. If that long suffering, that fruit of long suffering isn't there, to enable you to endure that persecution. I don't know how you make it. I look again at Paul. As Paul went through the persecutions that he went through, that fruit of long suffering, it had to be there manifested to get him from through one circumstance, through another one, and another one. See, God knew that we would need this fruit in order to endure what we would be faced with. And not just to endure it like a good soldier that, you know, gets beat up all the time, but to walk through it and have joy at the same time. That you can walk through these things, through these the persecutions, and you do it with joy. I think right now about Peter when he was imprisoned and the angel had to come and kick him to wake him up. I mean, the guy's got peace, there's long suffering, he is not fearful. All of that's present right there in Peter. I mean, to the point that, look, they're going to kill you tomorrow, and what's he doing? Oh, I'm sleeping. I mean, that has to tell you that there's something coming out of his spirit that is enabling him to walk through this and not be all worried, all fretful, all tormented. God doesn't want us tormented. And see, that torment's in your soul. That torment's in your mind. I go back again to what I was saying earlier. If you're someone that you know God has called you into the ministry, there's going to be times, let's talk about finances. There's going to be times that in the natural, your mind is going to go 100 different directions trying to worry and fret and try to work schemes out to figure out how you're going to make ends meet. If you live in that place and let your soul dictate to you what you're going, how you're going to live, and if you're going to be in torment, you will be in torment. You can't let your soul control you like that. You have to live out of the spirit, so that the peace comes out. And at that peace, you live in that place of peace. How do you do that? Because you take the word of God that tells you that God will supply all of your needs, and you don't let that out of your sight. You keep hold of it because it's the anchor of your soul. It's going to give you what you need to walk through those battles where the enemy is tormenting you and trying to tell you you're not going to make it. Oh, baloney. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I will not turn loose of that. I will be steadfast. And because there's fruit inside of me that's come forth, that has been produced by that reborn human spirit. And that fruit of peace is coming forth. And no matter what my mind tries to tell me, the peace of God reigns and rules this being. Did you get that? That's important. That's what sustains you. That's what keeps you going. Hallelujah. Well, let me finish the rest of this back in Matthew 5. So that's long-suffering in verse 10. Verse 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And I wrote the word here, temperance. Temperance, meaning self-control, the virtue of one who masters his desires. So think about that. Go back there again to Matthew 5. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. See, it's in that moment right there. that the self-control, that not where you're trying to control your flesh by exerting your willpower. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there's a fruit of temperance that is manifesting, and that fruit sustains you when they're persecuting you, when they're saying all manner of evil against you, and you stand there with meekness, quietness, your gentleness. All these things are manifesting in temperance, self-control. You don't lash out at the person. You don't want to lash out at the person. Maybe your soul might try to tell you to, but there's fruit that's come out of your spirit that says you don't have to do that. Don't do it. Now you got a choice to make. Do I follow my soul, or do I live out of my reborn human spirit? Do I partake of this fruit of temperance and self-control and keep myself from doing these things? See, that's what God's equipped us with. And he says, you're blessed if you live this way. If you live out of your spirit, you will be blessed. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. All right, verse 12. Look at that. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Rejoice. Rejoice. You don't have to put it on, because you have the fruit of joy coming out. Joy. Not a put on something in your soul, but something that comes out, a force that comes out of your reborn human spirit. Hallelujah. Folks, I'll tell you what. If you can grab a hold of the fruit, this is what you're going to discover. The promised land that Israel stepped into in the natural when they crossed the Jordan, that was a shadow of something. That was a shadow of what we have today when we make Jesus the Lord of our life. And that promised land. That promised land is not something in the sweet by and by when we get to heaven. And the reason why I know that is because there's no giants in heaven. Giants that we're going to experience. The pressure we're going to experience is right here. So that promised land that we're going to have, that we are to take possession of, that promised land, we're going to experience all of that here on this earth once we're born again, if we will put forth the effort to grow, to develop, to mature. Here's what that fruit, remember that fruit? Remember the fruit that they brought out, the spies, when they went in the first time, they brought out the grapes that were so large that they had to put it on a pole between two men. See, that was fruit that was so abnormal to this world. It was like fruit from another world. How about that? Because that's the symbol of. It's the symbol of fruit from another world. When we're born again, we cross that Jordan into the promised land, and the fruit that's to manifest through this reborn human spirit is fruit from another world. Has no bearing on the circumstances of this natural world. And see, living in the promised land, taking possession of it, is where we put our flesh down, we transform that soul by the renewing of our mind, and this spirit man produces this fruit from another world. And this fruit is walking in the promised land. This is living in this promised land. Is it eating of this fruit, partaking of this fruit? See, it's not about cars and houses. And there's nothing wrong with that stuff. Don't get me wrong. I like cars and houses. But the promised land, if you think about it, how could the promised land just be things in the natural? Because if it was just things in the natural, a person that was a Christian who was wealthy, they that would be the picture of it then. And we know that's not it, because there's too many of them that are not happy, that are dissatisfied, because the real fruit isn't in things. It's the real fruit is what comes from that reborn human spirit. It's fruit from another world. It's what it is. So thank you for joining us this evening. Let's pray and we'll end tonight. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the fruit from another world. I thank you, Father, for the fruit of the reborn human spirit and how that we can cultivate it and how that it can be produced. And Father, it's going to bless us and it's going to bless the people around us. And it'll be the right motivation for what we do when we follow, as we follow you. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. I hope that you enjoyed that message. For more information about our ministry, you can write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74170. Or you can contact us via the internet at www.markjenkins.com.